And this brings me to a question then about a concern that you have for school systems. Is, I mean, we had a story last hour about how because of petroleum, because of gas prices, school systems in Georgia on a limited basis and then also in Kentucky on a more widespread basis are going to cut down the number of school days in order to compensate for the loss or the cost of fuel. And so we see, again, that kind of interconnectivity. I don't think that we have many school days to spare for our kids. What are you worried about when you look ahead in the future of our education?
Well, you've hit on it exactly. A worst-case scenario is reducing the number of school days. Right now, most of the rest of the world has 20 to 40 to 60 more days of school than our kids. Let's just think about 60 days, 2 months every year. That's a year every 5 years that country is picking up on our kids. So I think one of the big things that we have to do is stop this silliness about the expense of schools and understand that you buy the future, especially in a democracy, with high-quality education. And if we want to be a significant player in the 21st century, especially in terms of its impact on innovation, we really have to work hard on our schools, a lot harder than we are now.
Well, and that isn't just the number of days, though. It's kind of a focus on what we're going to teach. And math and science is something which we seem to be falling behind on.
Constantly. And
okay.
Two problems, by the way. One is that math teachers now can make much more money in industry than they can in teaching, because mathematics is going to be one of the major languages of the 21st century. It's a huge lever. And, of course, just general science. You know, we see an attitude towards science that is almost scary, as we see some of the fundamentalists attack science as if it didn't bring computers about, as if it didn't bring telephones about, as if it didn't bring a much better health care about. You know, they talk about the theory of science as if theory means it doesn't really mean anything. And we've got people who are actually backing away from science, and we need to embrace science in a very significant way.
Well, what happens if we don't? I mean, what happens if we don't? Let's just go there. Math and science, we just continue to kind of hobble through it, and we teach science as every community wants their science taught to their kids.
Yep.
You know, we have a community that says this is not the kind of science we want our kids to learn. So what's the ramifications of that?
I'll give you a story just to show you how this works. This is a story about a Japanese CEO who came to this country to buy a high technology company. And he and the other CEO and the vice presidents, especially the directors of R&D, were sitting in the room and they were talking about what they were going to do. And the American CEO said, well, okay, now let's send off our R&D people to talk about the technology while you and I talk about the corporation. And the Japanese CEO said, no, actually, I'm going to talk about the technology. It turned out he was a PhD in engineering, and he wanted to be part of that. What that meant was the American CEO literally was left out of the most important discussion. And that's what I'm talking about when I say if we do not appreciate how important science and technology will be for the 21st century, we will be left out of the conversation. So what you're really asking for is what kind of innovations can you come up with if you don't have math? Because you can't do good science without good math. One of the things I study a lot is where innovation comes from. And one of the driving forces of innovation is what's called the verge. A verge is where something and something different meet. And in order to deal with those places, with those differences, you've got to be pretty well educated. And part of that education is the understanding of science, understanding of math, and the practice of it, not just the understanding.
So we're on the verge of something, right? We're going to be on the verge of something.
Yep.
We can't help but to be.
Right.
So why can't we just look at it and say, well, so we're giving up science and math, and we're going to focus instead on the other subjects which we're more comfortable teaching.
Yep.
Our kids, and our kids seem more interested in learning.
Yeah, like marketing and pop music and TV shows
and making videos.
And making videos, right.
I mean, what's wrong with that?
Well, here's the dilemma. It doesn't generate real wealth. One of the studies I've done is where new wealth comes from in the world. And most of the new wealth in the world is actually generated by innovations. And if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, okay? If, in fact, all you got is old stuff sitting around, all you can do is bid on it. So you get inflationary stuff. I'll pay more for that than you'll pay for that. So that's how inflation gets by, when you have nothing new to build or to buy. But when you get something new that has not existed in the world before, you literally can buy something you couldn't buy before. And so innovation allows us to introduce dollars into the economy, which you can then spend on something that wasn't in the economy before, so it's not inflationary, and you grow the value of the society, and the technology is the engine behind that. So if you want to generate real new wealth in the world, you've got to be innovative. And most of the real new wealth in terms of innovation is driven through innovations that, let's call them hardware right now, okay? But there is some software involved in that, the computer stuff. But it's very technological. So the new iPod, the Nano that just came out, okay? Some people are going to spend some money on that they would have not bought anything else because of that innovation. And that drives a new industry, and that creates new wealth and new value and new jobs. So if we back away from science and technology, we back away from the engine. At that point, then, you can be a salesman for the engine, but that's not where the money's made.
Well, okay, so, but I've just come up with a new kind of rap, right? I mean, I've made a really good new movie.
Yep.
It seems like the world wants our movies. The
yep.
world wants our entertainment products.
Right.
Why shouldn't we focus on entertaining the world?
Well, let me just give you an example, all right? Let's do the rap, okay? If you don't have the recording equipment to record that rap, you're going to have to carry that around one voice at a time, one audience at a time around the world. There's no multiplier there for making wealth. So you need technology behind that. As a matter of fact, some of our young kids have very significant Japanese technology in their basements to record and make their own CDs. So there, the technology is clearly an important thing for that. Same goes for the videos. Okay, I'm going to make a video. There's only one way I can do that, and that is with, well, in fact, these days with HD technology. Thank you, Japanese, and Samsung for producing the $2,000 units that I can use. All right? So I think what you'll find if you look again and again and again is the multiplier effect where real wealth is generated, great wealth is generated through the science and technology.